Democratic capitalism. Democratic capitalism is the concept of free enterprise where a man can dream as big as he wants to dream and have the freedom to bring his dream to reality. It is a system where the people vote and have an authoritative say in decisions. Capitalism is an economic system based on private ownership of the means of production and their operation for profit. Characteristics central to capitalism include private property, capital accumulation, wage labor, voluntary exchange, a price system, and competitive markets. Decision-making and investments are determined by the owners of the factors of production. The distribution of goods and the prices are mainly determined by competition in the market. Capitalism simply means having ownership of capital. Supporters believe that it provides better products through competition, creates strong economic growth, yields productivity and prosperity that greatly benefits society, as well as being the most efficient system known for allocation of resources. In the essay by Ayn Rand, The Roots of War, she states that the major wars of history were started by the more controlled economies of the time against the freer ones, and that capitalism gave mankind the longest period of world peace in history, a period during which there were no wars involving the entire civilized world. Starting from the end of the Napoleonic Wars in 1815, it lasted until the outbreak of World War I in 1914. However, she forgot the Franco-Prussian War of 1870, the Spanish-American War in 1898, and the terrifically bloody American Civil War from 1861 to 1865. Because capitalism usually yields large amounts of capital or money, democratic capitalist countries often have large militaries. In our world, the USA has emerged as the main protector of democracies. This has required production and expenditure of trillions of dollars for defense since World War I. History records the concept of peace through strength became prominent with world leaders in the capitalist countries of the West. In 1943, at the peak of World War II, the Pan-European Union was founded by Richard von Kundenhove Kalergi, who served as its president for 49 years. Its first Congress was held in Vienna, and public figures who attended included Albert Einstein and Sigmund Freud. Richard von Kundenhove Kalergi argued that after the war, the United States was bound to take command of the skies to ensure a lasting world peace. He said it this way, "But the inauguration of such a glorious century of peace demands from us abandonment of old conceptions of peace. The new angel of peace must no longer be pictured as a charming but helpless lady with an olive branch in her hand, but like the goddess of justice with a balance in her left hand and a sword in her right, or like the archangel Michael with a fiery sword and wings of steel, fighting the devil to restore and protect the peace of heaven." Richard von Kundenhove Kalergi. Offutt Air Force Base is a U.S. Air Force installation near Omaha and lies adjacent to Bellevue in Sarpy County, Nebraska. Offutt Air Force Base is home of the 55th Wing, the Fightin' 55th, which is the largest wing in Air Combat Command and the second largest in the entire Air Force. Offutt Air Force Base provides worldwide reconnaissance, command and control, and combat support critical to warfighting commanders and national leadership. Near the entrance of Offutt Air Force Base stands a large sign with a SAC, Strategic Air Command, emblem and its motto, "Peace is our profession." One of its bombers, Convair B-36, is called Peacemaker, and one intercontinental missile, LGM-118, also known as the MX missile, is called the Peacekeeper. Post-war II, the term peace through strength became prominent in politics. During the 1964 American presidential campaign, for example, the Republican Party spent about $5 million proclaiming peace through strength in television advertisements. In 1980, Ronald Reagan used the phrase peace through strength during his election challenge against Jimmy Carter, accusing the incumbent of weak, vacillating leadership that invited enemies to attack the USA and its allies. Reagan later considered it one of the mainstays of his foreign policy as president. In 1983, he explained it thus, "We know that peace is the condition under which mankind was meant to flourish. Yet peace does not exist of its own will. It depends on us, on our courage to build it, and guard it and pass it on to future generations. George Washington's words may seem hard and cold today, but history has proven him right again and again. To be prepared for war, he said, is one of the most effective means of preserving peace. While to those who think strength provokes conflict, Will Rogers had his own answer. He said of the heavyweight champion of his day, "I've never seen anyone insult Jack Dempsey." Ronald Reagan. This approach was credited by many for forcing the Soviet Union to lose the arms race and end the Cold War. Peace through strength is the official motive of the Nimitz-class nuclear-powered aircraft carrier USS Ronald Reagan. In 2016, former U.S. Secretary of Defense Ash Carter envisaged that the rebalance to the Asia-Pacific will make the region peaceful through strength. You and your fellow soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines will solidify the rebalance. You will make this network work, and you will help the Asia-Pacific realize a principled and peaceful and prosperous future and play the role only America can play. You'll do so with strength. Ash Carter. Peace through strength would appear in the Republican Party platforms of 1980, 84, 88, 92, 96, 2000, 2008, 2012, and 2016. On assuming office in January of 2017, President Donald Trump cited the idea of peace through strength as central to his overall America First foreign policy. It appears peace through strength tries to produce fear in one's enemies, thus averting conflict. Sometimes effective, yet it's often otherwise, increasing tension, suspicions, and hostilities. Did this policy protect capitalist countries from its enemies and bring peace after the Second World War? Sadly, Korea, Vietnam, and numerous smaller armed conflicts seem to say no. We haven't yet been totally annihilated by nuclear weapons, but were we at peace either internationally or domestically? It may work at times, possibly helping prevent enemy invasion, but does it offer a lasting peace that man deserves? The concept of peace through strength has filtered into even the smallest businesses and churches. I have been a businessman with many employees for the greater part of my life. I learned early that when I treated the employees with genuine concern and compassion, I had a much better working environment. Compare this with a cold relationship of hard rules for them to follow. Everyone seemed much more peaceful with not only me, but also with each other. They sincerely appreciated those in leadership, recognizing them as a valuable part of the team and as individuals with specific values. Peace through strength in theory often becomes peace through intimidation in reality. The real test of this inspiration versus fear motivation proved itself when I had to be away for short periods of time. I would encourage them and let them know how much they were appreciated before I left. To my amazement, they all came together and increased production while I was away. They wanted to show me their appreciation for my inspiration and their peaceful surroundings. This truly created a happy, peaceful, and pleasant workplace with real concern for other coworkers. What a difference compared to the peace through strength concept, which lays down uncompassionate, selfish rules for the team to follow while the boss is away. The result of this leadership was a sigh of relief when the boss left, resulting in production dropping considerably and an unhappy, unpeaceful environment. The employees had no motivation to make the boss or the company happy, save the threat of punishment. Sadly, we often find the same problem in church leadership. Pride is one of, and maybe the worst predator on pastors and church officers. A good speaker can get easily elevated amongst the congregation, giving him more power and authority than scripturally necessary. They get so intertwined in people's personal lives, causing many to walk in fear of disobeying the leadership. Even worse, deserting from the opinion of a powerful church leader often brings internal struggles. Some begin to question their relationship with God and their salvation, since they are in conflict with who some perceive to be God's chosen leaders. People can get to a place where instead of experiencing God's presence for themselves, they exalt the instructions of the church as their absolute. All through the church ages in the book of Revelations, God records in his word how he hates the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. The word Nicolaitan is actually formed from two Greek words, Nikeo, meaning to conquer, and Laos, meaning the people or laity. It refers to the earliest form of the notion of a priestly order or clergy, which later divided an equal brotherhood into priests and laity. Matthew 23:8. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. A report in June 2015 on the Global Peace Index highlighted that the impact of violence on the global economy reached $14.3 trillion. The report also found that the economic cost of violence is 13.4% of the world GDP, which is the gross domestic product, is the total value of everything produced by all the people and companies worldwide, and 13.4% equals the total economic output of Brazil, Canada, France, Germany, Spain, and the UK combined. Examining peace through strength on the micro level may expose its flaws on a worldwide scale. Two topics we can consider: alarms and personal weapons for protection. Modern technology has allowed the development of many great alarm systems to protect banks, businesses, and personal assets. We have alarms that hang around our necks or triggered by our mobile phones. Security cameras are now in many businesses, homes, parks, and street intersections. Has all of this made us safer? Undoubtedly. Personal ownership of guns makes the U.S. civilian population one of the world's largest militaries. The Second Amendment has allowed millions to protect themselves from criminal intruders. However, neither alarms nor guns can eliminate crime, and neither are 100% effective, in a way that both actually are a constant reminder of how dangerous this democratic country we live in currently is. Don't misunderstand, I use both and I believe in both, but neither has brought me a true peace. Alarms fail, as do weapons. There are many innocent victims, and the number is increasing, caught every day in violent acts, even though an abundance of systems for protection are in place. Think of the innocent lives lost in terrorism, crime, and school shootings. The very weapons used by some to protect become instruments of violence. We may raise our children to be kind and respectful while another parent fails. The result can be our child getting hurt or even worse. Our governments provide military protection to keep us safer. Their expensive weapons must be continually improved upon as new and more powerful weapons are being developed by their enemies. Efforts are continuously being made to keep this technology from getting into the wrong hands. One mistake, and what are the consequences? This is what eventually leads mankind to Armageddon and the destruction of the world as we know it. Abraham Lincoln stated the very same military we believe will protect us could one day be used against us. Military force, personal weapons, and alarms are all sensible, adding a portion of security to our lives. Am I thankful for a strong military? At times. Do alarms and the Second Amendment keep us safer? Generally, yes. Does any of this bring genuine real peace? They cannot produce peace. As long as violence reigns, they simply assist in our protection. Thus, peace through strength is a misnomer, as it never has and never can usher in lasting world peace. However, would a religious system be more effective in advancing our world toward peace?